Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN-FM, listener-supported community radio. Tonight, we bring you two plays, both written by local playwrights. First, we present The Dick by Charlie Finkel.
My name's Dick, Richard Dick, and I'm a dick. Private detective, that is. Some say that Dick Dick is a real dick. I am, and I'm proud of it. So call me what you will. My beat is Redding. That's Redding, California. Where's Redding, many ask? I answer that Redding lies in a sweet spot nestled at the tip of the Sacramento Valley with mountains on three sides, lakes nearby, and some of the best views an eye can see, at least when it's not hot and smoky, which it is in the summer. I tell people it gets hot in Redding, real hot, like 100-degree plus hot. But it's a dry heat, if that makes any difference. It was on one really hot summer night that I met Doris. She entered my office like a moonbeam, clad in a white sleeveless summer dress which clung to the sinuous curves of her very feminine body like saran wrap sticks to the uneaten sandwiches in my icebox. Being the observant dick I am, I noticed at once she was in trouble.
Are you Mr. Dick?
That's me, Richard Dick. If you need a private detective, you've come to the right place. The beauty began to cry. Tears flowed down from her beautiful green eyes like water down the Sacramento River.
I need help, Mr. Dick. I'm in trouble. Really big trouble.
Sit down, sweetheart. I took a chance in calling her sweetheart. They can get you in a lot of trouble these days. But I decided to risk it. I'm a good judge of character, and my gut told me this dame didn't mind being called sweetheart. What's your name, sweetheart?
Doris. And I'd appreciate it if you don't call me sweetheart.
Sometimes I get it wrong. Okie dokie, Doris. It's getting late and my gut is aching for some chow. So make it short if you can and get to the point. Why do you need a private detective?
It's a long story, Mr. Dick. But I'll try to make it short.
I'm hungry, Missy, so give me the Cliff Notes version.
Please don't call me Missy. My name is Doris.
Okay, honey, go ahead.
It happened last Saturday night. I was by myself, walking over the Sundial Bridge. I often walk alone at night. I like to stand on the bridge, right at the middle, and look down at the fast, flowing water. The water level was high and really flowing fast.
You're making me want to go pee, Doris. Get to the point.
Sorry. I'll try. I thought I was alone on the bridge, but I was wrong. As I looked down at the water, the fast-flowing water, I sensed other beings nearby. I was right. There were two men coming from the direction of Turtle Bay, dragging something big. As they got closer, I saw it was a body. They lifted it up over the rail of the bridge and dropped it into the river. It was then that they saw me. My heart sank like an anchor in fast-flowing water.
Doris, if you would excuse me for a moment, I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. I left her alone in my office. All that talk of fast-flowing water was just too much. When I returned from emptying my bladder, Doris was still in the chair where I'd last seen her. I took a quick glance at my desk to see if anything was missing or out of place. But the pen was where I'd left it, and she hadn't touched the unlit cigar nestled in its ashtray or the bourbon in a glass. Okay, Doris, go on. You were on the bridge and two men dropped what you think was a body into the Sacramento River. What happened then?
After they let go of the body, they noticed me. I panicked. Where would I go? The men were coming from the direction of where my car was parked. I didn't want to go in the opposite direction, as it was dark. And who knows what dangers lurked on the river trail over there. And I certainly didn't want to jump into the water, that fast-flowing water.
Okay, Doris, I stipulate that the water under the bridge was flowing fast. You don't have to keep saying it. I don't want to have to make another trip to the little boy's room if you catch my drift.
Sorry.
So, what did you do?
I froze. My body went limp, Mr. Dick. I simply could not move, no matter how hard I tried. It was hot, real hot, and I was sweating profusely. All I could do was stand there and sweat and watch as these two men, probably murderers, who just disposed of a body, got closer and closer to me.
I pictured her hot and sweating. Not a bad image, I might add. And then?
And then they came right up to me. One of them spoke.
"Good evening," he said. "A little late for a lady as pretty as you to be all alone on the Sundial Bridge at this late hour. What are you doing here?"
I noticed he was wearing a T-shirt which said, "Frank Salvage." I told them I liked to be alone and liked to look at the fast-flowing water under the bridge.
She just wouldn't shut up about that fast-flowing water. Doris, I'll be right back. At my age, trips to the bathroom were frequent, but this was getting ridiculous. When I returned, Doris was no longer in the chair. She was standing by the window, staring out onto the streets of Redding. Moonlight shimmered in her long blonde hair, making it look almost like a waterfall. I again inventoried the items on my desk to make certain she hadn't messed with them. The pen, cigar, ashtray, and bourbon were right where I had left them. Some names you can trust, and this was one of them. Sorry about that, Doris. Go on.
I thought they were going to kill me, or kidnap me, or do something horrible like that. But they didn't. The same man spoke again.
"Well, sweetheart, you shouldn't be out here alone at night. You can't trust people these days. Best that you move on and forget that you saw us here tonight."
And did you move on?
Not at first. I was angry. "Don't call me sweetheart," I admonished them. "I have a name, Doris Derriere." The man replied,
"Okay, Doris Derriere, best to move on. Have a good night, Doris Derriere."
So, did you move on?
I did, just like they said.
So what's the problem? Why does a nice girl like you need a dick?
I'd prefer you refer to me as a woman, Mr. Dick. My days as a girl are long gone. The problem is that I foolishly gave them my name, Doris Derriere. I am the only Doris Derriere in Redding. They probably know where I live and may even be spying on me.
So why not go to the police?
And I thought you were a good private detective, Mr. Dick. Can't you deduce that if I went to the police, those thugs would come after me? My dead body would probably be the next thing they were throwing in the river. I need protection, Mr. Dick. I need you to find some way to keep those goons away from me.
I thought it over for a few seconds. This probably was not up my alley. I am not a bodyguard, I'm a dick. But as Doris stood by the window with moonlight in her hair and her green eyes staring longingly at me, I didn't want to get rid of her just yet. Okay, Doris, guarding bodies really is not my forte, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll look into this to see if I can find out what those guys were really doing on the bridge and try to determine whether you really are in danger.
Would you, Mr. Dick? That would be great. Just great.
I informed Doris of my fees, $150 a day plus expenses. Typically, I ask for a $500 retainer, but in this beauty's case, I waived it. She agreed to pay, gave me her address and phone number, and left me to my cigar and bourbon. Well, I told you I was a pretty good dick. It didn't take me long to get to the bottom of this caper. Doris was observant and remembered the T-shirt on the guy that spoke to her had on it Frank Salvage. I tracked the business to a junkyard on Highway 273 in Reading. I cased the joint for a few nights and tracked what was going on. Two guys would take junk and toss it in the river. The body Doris thought she saw was just junk. They were litter bugs, not murderers. When I was certain I'd solved the case, I called Doris and asked her to have dinner with me at In-N-Out. I wanted to impress her. She agreed. I got to the restaurant early. I wasn't sure what Doris would like to eat, but since she agreed to meet me there, I deduced she liked meat. So I took the liberty of ordering her a burger, fries, and a shake. I got the same for myself, but made my burger a double. When Doris sauntered into the place, all I could focus on was her. Blaring over the loudspeaker was,
"Guest number 939, your order is ready."
That was my number, but they had to repeat it 5 times because all I could see or hear was Doris.
In-N-Out is my favorite place. How did you know?
I'm a dick, Doris, and I'm good at what I do. I told her what I'd learned and that she had nothing to worry about. She seemed at ease. We ate our burgers, dipped fries into the tiny ketchup holders, and sipped our shakes, all the while staring into each other's eyes. I decided then and there to waive my fees. It didn't take long for Doris Derriere to become Doris Dick. It's funny where one finds love. In my case, it was at an In-N-Out in Reading.
We hope you enjoyed The Dick, written and directed by Charlie Finkel. The voices you heard were John Welsh and Linda Reagan. Our second play tonight is The Chosen, written by Jim Dowling.
Watch your step, bud. Looking a little stiff there.
It's the back. I'll be fine. Helps to move around.
Your back, my knee. Maybe this is a spare parts convention.
Yeah, we'll soon find out.
That lady at the door. Mind if I ask how much she gave you?
200 smackaroos. Easiest money I ever pocketed.
Same here, 200 bucks. She's throwing cash around like Monopoly money.
Yeah, it's gotta be a hustle. You watch. They'll be asking us to sell something.
You could be right, amigo. This is a whole lot like something I got sucked into a month ago. They gave us $50 to sit and listen. Wasted a whole frickin' afternoon. I'm telling you, if a couple of guys walk in here pitching some new incredible smoke detector, I'm out of here.
I was at that one. All about commissions. Bust your ass for crumbs.
Yeah, but I don't think it's smoke detectors.
Why not smoke detectors?
Or Hoover vacuum cleaners or Ginsu knives. Too big a group.
How about this? Some cult trying to recruit. Yeah, that's what they do, you know, pack them in like sardines, captive audience. Praise the Lord! Tomorrow's headlines, Doomsday Cult Kills 200 in an Abandoned Warehouse.
Stay away from the Kool-Aid. Whatever happens, be vigilant.
Well, you think they're going to try to pull something?
I'm just saying, don't let your guard down.
Yeah, trust me, I wasn't gonna.
The letter you got, mine? Can I have a look at it?
Sure, got it right here.
Yep, identical, same one I received. Notice there's no return address?
Yeah, what's that about?
There's no return address because someone doesn't want their identity revealed.
Well, I'm okay with that. I get plenty of letters without return addresses, junk mail. But this time they're handing out money.
Trust me, nothing's free. Look at this. It says here that if you decide to partake, you get another $500. That's not sales.
Now partake of what?
The million-dollar question. It's a marketing technique. If you want a good turnout, throw in a cash incentive. Judging by the turnout, I'd say they got us right where they want us.
All right, Jack. Enlighten me. What is it they want with you, me, and the rest of us?
I don't know. Wish I did. You heard about those government experiments back in the 50s? Oh, hell yeah. They'd round up a bunch of people like us and inoculate them with a virus or some concoction they wanted to test out. Cold War experiments. See what people can tolerate. No one knows how many people disappeared.
Whoa there, bud. Rein it in. You got quite the imagination.
I'm saying we need to be ready for anything.
All right. Take a deep breath. Reality check. We got letters, right? Some cash at the door for showing up. That means, at least to me, that someone wants something. Real bad, in fact. Enough to shell out 500 more bucks if we hear them out and be part of something. I'd say that's worth sticking around for.
I don't like it. I don't like the look of it, the smell of it. I don't like any of it.
You don't quit, do you?
Check out this place. It's a concrete box. No windows, no vents, just a single door in the corner.
Guarded by a suspicious-looking broad in high heels with a suitcase full of cash.
You think I'm paranoid, right? I'm vigilant, that's all. I don't get taken.
I don't know what you are. But I ain't feeling it, this imminent creepy danger you keep hammering at.
So you're going to stick around?
Me? Well, absolutely. I'll hear him out. What's to lose? Hey, look at it this way. Even if they wanted to pull something weird, there's a whole lot of us crammed in here. Who's going to stop us from leaving?
Mind if I butt in? I couldn't help overhearing you guys.
We that loud?
I could hear you guys arguing from the other side of the room. Thought I'd come over and see what all the fun's about.
Well, let's keep her down.
Welcome to the Skeptics and Seriously Paranoid Club. You have a name, young lady?
Misha.
Well, I'm Red, and this fellow is...
Casey.
Yeah, Casey. Casey and I have a little difference of opinion. He's hell-bent on the notion we're in for some ugly surprise. What's your take, young lady?
I didn't say that.
Well, it is kind of weird. Who in the world doles out what must be thousands of dollars to complete strangers, hoping they'll participate in some mysterious and unmentioned activity?
Someone with a hell of a lot of money.
Someone rich and powerful. If we could just figure out the common thread.
What? Common thread? What's that?
The thing we all have in common.
There has to be something about us. What unique characteristic do we share?
I don't follow.
Well, this is no random selection of people from the LA phone directory. They targeted us for a reason. If we knew the reason, we'd know why we're here.
The lady is spot on. I couldn't agree with you more, Misha.
Wouldn't surprise me if this has some connection to the medical industry. Look around. People from every slice of life. Young, old, men, women, pretty average, except...
Except what?
That I'm seeing a lot of bent backs, lots of canes and walkers and knee braces. People who could use serious relief.
You could be right.
I mean...
Hey, he's here. Look, over there.
Good evening, folks. How's everyone doing today?
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
All right.
Come on. You can do better than that. How y'all doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. Real good.
That's better. Much better. Now, if y'all just find yourself a seat, we'll get this show on the road. I'm Brad, and this is Sheila. We're with the Good Life Pharmaceutical. It's the same company that brought you Sleep Easy, lots of flu vaccines, and currently doing research on memory loss. Good Life prides itself on being at the cutting edge of meeting the health needs of the coming century. Hey, Sheila, why don't you get your butt over here and introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Sheila.
That's it? Come on, girl. Ah, Sheila's kind of shy, but they give me the cute ones, don't they? I can't tell you how much we appreciate y'all giving up your time to come down here today. And how about the 200 bucks Sheila gave you at the door? No strings attached. Like that, don't you?
Yeah.
Good Life's a fine company, generous to a fault. All they're asking is that you listen to the entire message before making any decisions. And we'll get to that in a sec. Sheila, could you turn on the monitor, please? That looks good. I'm sure the question on everybody's mind is, why the heck am I here? Why me? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Today, we are initiating a clinical study, and you have been selected to be a part of it. Nothing out of the ordinary. We conduct these surveys all the time, all over the country. It's how important data is collected, and it's how products are eventually brought to the market. After a long period of extensive research, there comes a time we need to study effects on the general population. I can't emphasize enough the importance of volunteers such as yourselves. So how about we get to the burning question on everybody's mind? What is the risk? Minimal, I assure you. You take a few pills, you jot down how you feel, and for a vast majority of you, that's it. Serious. Not a mas. And for that, Good Life will reward the sacrifice you've made in time and commitment by presenting each and every one of you with $500 at the conclusion of this study. You heard right, $500.
We're guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs. You hear that, Sheila? Folks, I've been at this a long time, and you don't know how often I hear the very same comment. We're all just guinea pigs. Well, these are the facts. There are all kinds of protocols in place that we're required to follow for your protection. A myriad of laws and safeguards that we have to adhere to.
That's bull and you know it. Ask them why they're spending all this money.
I'm going to ask the person who feels the need to speak out to please respect these proceedings. We have an agenda to follow.
I'll bet you do.
No one's forcing anyone to do anything. You are free to leave any time. Don't spoil the things for the rest of these fine folks.
Fine. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Well, I guess you can't make them all happy. Whatever is bothering that man, I wish him well.
Well, don't dismiss him like that. He had legitimate concerns.
Who? Yes, ma'am. Could you speak up?
You said the study is nothing out of the ordinary. It looks pretty strange to me. I look around and I'm seeing a whole lot of people packed into a dingy warehouse, listening to a guy who sounds a lot like a used car salesman.
I apologize. The accommodations could be better. Let's get back to...
I'm not done yet. He was right, wasn't he? There is something else going on here, isn't there?
All right. I can see where this is headed. It's very possible we've made a mistake here, Sheila. A miscalculation. It does happen once in a while.
What a shame. I met so many nice people here tonight.
I'm afraid we're just going to have to pack it in. Invite another group. Good evening, folks, and we apologize for any inconvenience.
Wait! The $200.
What about it? It's yours. No one's asking for it back.
Well, how about the $500 promised to those who participate?
Sheila?
That's the very best part of this job. I'm going to hand out $500 to every person who completes this project. It never gets old.
Well, some of us might want to hang around.
Sorry, friend. We require a large sampling to make this worth our while. Not to mention the rather chilly reception we received this evening.
Who's going to stay? Who wants to stay and get $500?
Hey, I do.
Wow.
Can we give it another try, Brad? Look at them. They want to stay.
Please,
Brad. All of you, raise your hands if you want to stay. Show Brad you want to do this.
I'll stay.
I want that money.
Tell you what. If the rest of you want to stick around and hear us out, we'll give it another go. How's that sound?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, if you decide to participate, here's what I can tell you. Each of you will be given a small vial of pills. As you can see up there on the screen, some of the pills are red, some are green. You'll receive 21 pills, all either red or green. You'll take one every morning for 3 weeks. At the end of each day, you will document any changes you may feel, good or bad, in a journal like the one I'm holding up. During that time, you are not, I repeat, not to communicate with other participants. At the end of 3 weeks, July 2nd at 12 p.m. to be exact, we will reconvene in this room and we'll have a short debrief and we will hand in our journals. After that, each of you will walk away with $500. Cash. Easy, right?
That's it?
Yes, sir. That's all there is to it. Other questions?
What's the pill supposed to do?
I can't say. That would compromise the results. It's what we call a blind study. I will tell you that some of you will receive placebos, and some will get the new drug Good Life is developing.
What happens if I have a bad reaction, you know, get real sick or something?
That's a great question. This individual wants to know what happens if the pills make him sick. Very simple, sir. You stop taking them.
What, just stop?
That's what I said. Just stop. But be forewarned that if you do not complete the trial, you forfeit the $500 bonus that you were to receive at the end of the 3 weeks. That's just the way it's done. It's all spelled out in the contract. Sheila, how about we distribute those contracts?
Hey, wait a sec. I got a question. Over here. Why don't you just take one of those pills? Like right here, right now.
Yeah, hey,
why don't you do that? You try one.
Oh my, here we go again. I think we have some doubters in our midst. What should I do, Sheila?
Well, I suppose you should swallow a pill yourself.
How does that sound to you, sir? Would that be enough to convince you?
Just do it!
All right. Pass me a green pill, please.
Sure, Brad. Here you go.
Oh, hell no. Give him a red one.
Yeah. Give him one of them red ones.
They want you to take the red pill, Brad.
I can hear them, Sheila. Loud and clear. All right, folks, just to prove how much faith and trust I have in Good Life Pharmaceuticals, I will do exactly what you're asking me to do. Red pill, Sheila.
Here you go.
One more, please.
Two? You really want two red pills? Are you sure?
I am very sure. The water, please. Okay, here we go. Down the hatch. Look at that. A double shot and no frothing at the mouth. Easy peasy, and folks, I assure you I feel fantastic. In fact, never better. Now, I do hope I have allayed all your fears. Good. Now let's get down to business. Look over the contracts, then sign and date if you choose to participate. Sheila will collect them at the door as you leave.
One rough crowd tonight.
Boy, howdy. Don't tell them those people are stupid.
No kidding.
We make bonus?
With flying colors. Only two slipped out. Never signed the contracts.
Not bad. Good Life should be quite happy.
Better be.
Where are we off to next?
St. Louis.
That group. Back for their $500. Hey, it's a big one, so let's make sure we have plenty of pills on hand to spend that cash on. We'll have trouble in our hands if we run short.
Brad, do you ever think about it?
Think about what?
How many never get off the pills?
They're adults. Consenting adults. Bad time to be having second thoughts.
So, it doesn't bother you?
Heck no.
How long you intend to stick with this?
Long as that slot machine delivers, I ain't going anywhere. Best gig I ever had. Hey, why you ask, anyway?
I've been thinking, you know, of trying something else.
Don't even go there. You're a shining star. Good Life loves you. You seriously thinking of giving all this up?
I don't know.
This is the 21st century, the cusp of huge advances in medicine. Very soon, virtually everything that ails us will be manageable. Opioids are but a glimpse of the future.
We are just a couple of selfless, caring souls doing good work in the community?
Didn't say that. We're business people. Who drives the nice cars? Who gets to live in the big country house? And for that matter, who runs the damn country? Smart people who take the initiative. Rewards go to the initiative, the hard worker, the determined. Not those who get derailed by sentiment. That's what capitalism is all about. No, honey, success is not for everyone. Certainly not for the squeamish.
I take it you sleep well at night.
Don't you?
Not lately.
Well, get over it. Keep those eyes on the prize. We're heading for St. Louis tomorrow and riding the Good Life train as far as she goes.
Casey Jones, you better watch your speed.
You have been listening to The Chosen by Jim Dowling. Our cast included Chris Gomez, Monica Hicks, Bob Christensen, Jim Dowling, and Randy Compton. The Chosen was directed by Chris Gomez. Technical production for both plays was provided by our technical director, Lily Dubois. Thank you for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater. I am your host, Dickie Magadoff.